hottest morning show, The Breakfast Club.
Man, what the hell is this, man?
Breakfast Club, bitches.
I'm glad they put y'all together. Y'all are like a mega force. Y'all just took over every...
Wake your punk ass up.
This Chris Brown. I've officially joined The Breakfast Club. Say something, motherfucker.
I'm with it.
The world's most dangerous morning show.
Breakfast Club, bitches.
You're not
going to do that again.
What are you doing, man?
Do it again.
This guy over here.
All right.
He was here. I don't know why he walked up the room. Here we go again.
Good morning, USA.
Yo. Angelique's getting prep. Good morning, Charlamagne.
Peace to the planet. Guess what day it is?
Hump day.
I can't even see the hell. Yeah, hand me though. Let me see though.
I ain't got no headphones.
Yeah, my headphones all broke too.
I ripped my headphones in here, horsing around.
Mm-hmm.
So I just plugged. I plugged in my Beats by Dre. They're not working. So now I got to use these.
Those are Cali joints, right?
No, they used to be Cali joints. Cali got with Apple and said, "F these."
No, but the old Cali.
At least
joints.
I can hear.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday. It is Hump Day. Hopefully you guys had a great night last night. I had a little date night with the wife. Sometimes you got to do that.
Oh, you still got to date your wife.
Absolutely.
Salute to Steve Harvey for putting that out there constantly.
Absolutely.
You got to date your wife.
I was kind of mad that Nate Parker's movie wasn't out last night, so I could take her to go see it last night. But we're just going to have to wait till the weekend and go see that movie.
Yeah, that's actually a good viewing middle of the week movie. It come out tomorrow, though.
Thursday at midnight.
Mm-hmm. Nate Parker will be here tomorrow. Though.
He'll be here tomorrow. We'll talk about everything. I'm excited about that.
Did you watch the BET Hip Hop Awards last night?
I seen some of it. I didn't watch the full show in the full amount, but I went in and out. I seen some of the freestyles, the raps, the ciphers.
Ciphers were
kind of
weak this year. I'm not gonna lie to you. It was a few that was really dope. Like the very first one that they played was really really dope.
Who'd you thought killed it? I thought Young M.A. killed it.
I thought Young M.A. got busy.
Young M.A. killed it.
Who really got busy to me?
That's yours. I brought that for you.
Davies got busy.
Davies killed it.
The first white dude, I think his name was Millsy or something.
Yeah, he killed it.
From like Boston, I think he was. He was dope. But I don't know. None of the ciphers really stood out to me this year.
Man, I missed the BET Awards.
And I don't tell you going to have a state property cipher without Young Chris. And yeah. I guarantee the only reason he wasn't there because somebody in the group doesn't like him.
That's true.
And they probably
Little
all...
Wayne was in a cipher also?
Him and... Kevin Hart was playing around.
Yeah, they were.
I think Wayne
around.
Was serious, but Kevin Hart was playing.
Yeah, Kevin Chocolate Drop was definitely playing around. But I didn't really know Beanie Siegel. I guess losing that lung affects his voice and everything.
Man, you so late.
I know. I'm sorry.
You kind of need your lungs to breathe and stuff.
I know, but I didn't know. I didn't know how it affected his voice. That's the first time I really heard him do a rap, like a full rap.
The one lung killer.
Yeah, the one lung killer. Yeah.
I had to host a movie screening last night.
That's your new gig. You be hosting a movie screening.
Well, this one was in Jamaica, Queens.
The whole South Side?
Yeah, it was called Pray Before You Eat 2.
Okay, well, you know Jamaica, South Side.
Pray Before You Eat 2.
That's a sequel? Yeah, it's a part 2.
Never heard of part one.
And it actually ends with, well, I can't tell you. Forget it. Well,
I'm not going to watch it.
Let me just tell the people out in Queens. Southside Queens was a bad area growing up. If it's from where Supreme is from, where 50's from.
Who are these people you talking about?
You know who 50 Cent is.
Oh, you know 50 Cent. Who's Supreme?
You know, Supreme, the drug dealer Supreme.
You're talking to the country, not New York.
A lot of people know who Supreme is.
Yeah, they think it's industry. A clothing line.
No, they don't.
That's what they think.
But anyway, in
they
the Southside Jamaica.
Queens reigns supreme.
Right, yeah, they changed the name of Jamaica Southside. It's now Jamaica Heights and... The value of the houses up there are going up extremely. So you could grab a house really, really cheap in Jamaica, Queens right now.
Real estate tip.
Yeah, real estate tip. Just to give people a little help. All right, well, let's get the show cracking. Front page news.
We'll give you some updates on Hurricane Matthew as it heads toward the United States. We'll tell you what happened when it hit Haiti yesterday, as forecasters predicted where it's going to be hitting this later on this week. And we'll talk about the vice presidential debate.
And we got a special guest today.
She's the creator of Girls.
Yes, Lena.
Oh, that's our show.
Lena Dunham will be here this morning.
Lena Dunham will be joining us this morning. So keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Here's Riri. Everybody, it's DJ MV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, in sports, baseball, the Blue Jays beat the Orioles 5-2 in extra innings to advance in the playoffs. Now, where the Mets play tonight? The Mets play tonight, so good luck to the Mets fans out there in the Mets side. Let's talk about Hurricane Matthew.
Yes, Hurricane Matthew is going toward the southern Bahamas this morning. After leaving Haiti, they left 11 people dead on the path toward the United States. Forecasters are predicting it would reach Florida's Atlantic coast and South Carolina later on this week. Right now, five of the people that died were in Haiti. So we told you there have been 11 deaths altogether. The storm also did hit Cuba, but there was no immediate reports of major damage there. But Florida and South Carolina are preparing to evacuate more than 1 million people.
Wow.
That's horrible. Sad.
They're saying it's the most powerful storm in almost a decade here.
The crazy part is you can't even say anything about, you know, natural disasters. Like, what do you tell people? It's like, all you can say is you pray for them. It's natural disasters. Nothing you can do.
Now let's talk about the debate, the vice presidential debate.
Right, Mike Pence and Tim Kaine got into it. Of course, they talked about their running mates a whole lot.
That was on last night?
Yeah, that was on last night.
I was watching the BET Hip Hop Awards because I'm a real one. Okay, I don't know about no VP.
I'll tell you, I watched part of it. It wasn't the most exciting thing in the world. They were pretty calm. They did interrupt each other a lot as well. But Kaine, I think the main difference, and according to CNN, they're saying the main takeaway is basically that Kaine is talking about President Obama, all the jobs that were created, 15 million jobs, the median income is rising, and Pence is saying that it's not just a sunny side. People are still struggling, and the economy is struggling. So
at this point, it's
just very half empty, half full.
At this point, can we just get to it? Everybody should know who they're voting for by now, right?
Yeah, I don't know if this is going to change your mind either way.
I mean, a month and a few days away,
right?
Like November 8th, come on. BET Hip Hop Awards was on last night. All right.
Get your priorities straight.
Get your priorities straight,
goodness
people.
Gracious. All right. Well, that's front page news. Tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent. Call us right now. Phone lines are wide open. We'll put you live on the air if something's bothering you.
And yes, Lena Dunham will be here next hour.
Hey,
I don't
Lena
know why
Dunham
people are tweeting
up
and texting like we have to lie. Why would we lie to y'all?
Explain to people who Lena Dunham is.
She's the creator and writer of Girls. I don't know what else to tell you.
HBO's Girls, and the last season is coming up next year. So that's going to be the final season of Girls.
Right. So we'll kick it with her next hour. But right now, it's Tell Them Why You're Mad, 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, yo, good morning. This is the Mad Rap. I'm going to tell you why I'm mad. I'm mad because I hung out in the club last night, and there was too many good girls in there. Yo, for real, we don't need none of y'all good girls in the club. We need loose girls. We need drunk girls. We need sloppy girls. We need girls that's just going to call away. We don't need none of y'all nice girls in there. Go home. Go away. Talk about it. And tell me why you mad. Breakfast Club, for real.
I'm mad, man. I want to talk about some hip-hop things, man.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Shouldn't we have a hip-hop Hall of Fame?
We should. That's why I don't like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Like, I hate when they put hip-hop artists in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Hip-hop is probably the biggest genre of music in the past 30 years.
But we don't support the older artists. I mean, in rock and roll,
but we got to.
I mean, you're right, but we don't. You know, in rock and roll, they support the older artists. Here, we don't.
We got to come together as a whole hip-hop nation and create that so we can see that someplace we can go and actually see that and every 5 years having inductees to the Hall of Fame and stuff like that. I got some hood bread, but I ain't got that type of bread.
Man, listen, I'm going to start it on Facebook today.
Yo, please. I'll do it too, today. But I ain't got that much pull. You know what I'm saying?
Hip-hop Hall of Fame starting on Facebook today.
You a fool. Hello, who's this?
Yo, as mad as I am, you might as well call me Incredible Hulk.
Uh-oh.
Okay, why should we call you Incredible Hulk, bro?
My alleged homie, who I will now refer to herein as a fat sack of saccharin. Okay, my mother decided to give him a lift to the store, and old boy pulls out his Sheboinskin and proceeds to play with it in her car.
How old is he?
Probably like 30.
Damn.
I've been knowing him for like 17 years, and he would have the nerve to do something like that. You know, that's like grounds to do something so illegal. I can't even say it.
Yeah, you owe him 5 minutes. You go whoop his ass.
How you know your girl ain't pull it out for him?
There wasn't nobody in the car but him and my mother.
He said his mother, you know, not his girl. His mother.
Hey, mama got to have a life, too. Was mama offended?
No, that is very offensive.
That's disrespectful.
Of course she was offended.
That's disgusting.
That's what she told you.
And you know how many guys pull this thing out on the train? And I've seen cab drivers when I was younger driving past, and they just pull their thing out. It's disgusting. I don't know what's wrong with
people.
Yeah, that's because you're fine, but, you know, that's
not it. Oh, so your mama not fine?
Fine?
Your mama not fine. That's what you're saying?
Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Taylor Martin.
Hey, Taylor Martin. Where you calling from?
I'm calling from New Jersey.
All right. Why are you mad this morning?
I'm mad because I have a 25-page paper due, and I'm just starting it today.
When does it due?
And it's due today.
That sounds like how I used to be in school. Now, let me ask you this. What's the paper on?
Police and, like, brutality and how we feel about it.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah, you should be able to knock
that
right out.
You should be able to knock that out ASAP.
It's going to be mad exclamation marks, mad capital letters. You're going to be screaming at people through the paper.
Well, go ahead with that paper, Mama. Get it done. What college you go to? What school you go to?
William Patterson.
Oh, wait, William Patterson.
Shout Willie out to P. Willie P. Hey, send us your paper. I'm going to proofread it.
Hello, who's this?
Dina.
Hey, Dina. Tell them why you mad. Where you calling from?
I'm calling from Greenville, Florida.
All right. Why you mad, Mama?
Go to work every day, and at work, there's this one person that stinks really bad.
Woo, I know that feeling.
You going to tell them today? You going to tell them today?
I told them, and they just don't listen. They're like, no, it ain't me.
You need to complain to management.
We did, and they just don't know how to approach the people.
I would just keep telling them he stink.
But they just not getting it.
It's a damn shame when people can't smell themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be the first one to smell yourself. We're doing exercises. The exercises is the worst.
Oh,
you gotta really smell it.
Ugh.
Yeah, but sometimes you get used to that smell. Like, you know, when you go to the zoo, at first you walk in, it stinks, but then your nose gets adjusted, and then you don't even know it smells anymore.
Yeah. All right, tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Bryson Tiller with Exchange. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, next hour, Lena Dunham will be joining us. Now, to the people who don't know, explain who Lena Dunham is, because I really didn't know.
She created the HBO show Girls.
Girls, which is a...
She plays the character Hannah on the show, but she also created... She's a writer. She has this Lenny Letters that she does.
Mm-hmm.
She's a self-proclaimed feminist, so the Lenny Letters are all for feminism.
She's won Golden Globes. She's won Emmys. Mm-hmm. She's huge. Okay.
She loses weight.
Not that.
She's
not
huge, like,
meaning
stature.
Big in that world.
Yes.
And the show Girls is based on, what, four girls that live and growing up in Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Yep.
Plus their friends surrounding them, but not like a glamorous
not
Brooklyn
extravagant.
Life.
It's like the struggle, the real struggle.
Right.
Yeah, I've been a fan of Girls for a long time. Black women have a issue with Lena Dunham. They say that she's a feminist, but she doesn't include black women when it comes to talking about equality for women.
Okay.
It's like she's only up for white women's equality.
Okay. All right. So we'll
definitely talk to her.
We'll talk to her next hour. Now, also, we got rumors on the way, Yee?
Yes, we are going to talk about somebody else, another artist who says that he is suffering from depression.
Mm.
Okay. And we'll talk about Halle Berry. Remember we told you yesterday that Ric Flair said that...
Smashed?
Yeah, he smashed. Well, we'll tell you how she responded.
Okay. We'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up. Nah.
Well, apparently Kid Cudi's going through a lot. He just checked himself into rehab, and that is for depression and suicidal urges.
Mm.
He posted a message on his Facebook. He said, "I haven't been at peace since you've known me. If I didn't come here, I would have done something to myself. I simply am a damaged human swimming in a pool of emotions every day of my life. There's a raging violent storm inside of my heart at all times." He goes on to say, "My anxiety and depression have ruled my life for as long as I can remember, and I never leave the house because of it.
Mm.
I can't make new friends because of it. I don't trust anyone because of it, and I'm tired of being held back in my life. I deserve to have peace."
Remember that little rant Cudi went on a couple weeks ago when he was coming at Drake and Kanye?
Yep.
That had nothing to do with Drake and Kanye and everything to do with Cudi. That's why a lot of times when people come at you, you can't take things personal, because oftentimes it's not you, it's them.
I'm glad he checked in, though.
Right,
he said, I give so much
of myself to others. I forgot that I need to show myself some love, too. I think I never really knew how. I'm scared. I'm sad. I feel like I let a lot of people down. And again, I'm sorry. It's time I fix me. I'm nervous, but I'm going to get through this.
Yeah, Cudi was just lashing out because he was going through it. But at least he knows he needs help, and he went to go get that help.
And we always talk about how people suffer from depression and things like that, and he said he had suicidal urges. You never really know what somebody's going through.
I'm glad pride didn't keep him from checking himself in, because most times, like, nah, I got this. I can take care of it myself. But I'm glad he checked himself in. I hope he gets the help he needs.
Right, and he said he was ashamed, too, because it has to be difficult to be out and open about that.
Embarrassing as well, yeah.
He said, "I'm ashamed to be a leader and hero to so many while admitting I've been living a lie." So... We'll keep our eye out for Kid Cudi and let you know what's going on with him, but he has checked into rehab.
Okay.
All right, Wiz Khalifa, he is starting a clothing line to launch apparel that is inspired by Sebastian, okay? It's called Bash, and he's working with Junk Food Clothing for the new release of his Bash collection. All the designs are based around Sebastian, all of his hobbies, and the things that he's into. I just really wanted it to feel personal to him, so when he sees it, he gets excited. He's 3 years old, so he might not understand the concept of having his own clothing line, but the fact that all of his favorite things are all over his clothes, it makes him feel special. It makes him entertained by what he's wearing. That's cute.
That's dope.
That's a super cute thing. All right, Ric Flair versus Halle Berry. Who would have seen this battle coming? Now, this all started with Ric Flair on his show talking about how he actually had Halle Berry on Space Mountain.
Any celebrity riders of Space Mountain?
Several dozen.
We're going to get any names
today?
You want
me to start with Halle Berry or what?
Oh, Halle Berry rode Space Mountain.
Of course she did.
Okay.
She was in Atlanta, and she just got divorced from Dave Justice.
Wait, are you telling a real story right now?
Do what I have to make up a lie?
Lame! Kissing and telling is so lame. I don't care how much of a fan I am of yours. Lame, yo. Why?
Woo!
I don't care what your penis was.
Halle Berry responded. She said that it never happened. Her rep shut it down, said there is no truth to this. Halle has literally never even heard of him.
That's a lie. Now, come on now, Halle.
I think Ric Flair might have did. I think Ric Flair might have
smashed.
That's
a lie. Now I think Ric Flair.
You never heard of Ric Flair.
Now you lying.
I mean, he's, you know, in Atlanta after Dave Justice. I don't know.
Ric Flair never probably heard of Baps. But you heard of Ric Flair.
Now, one source said a man doesn't get to sexualize and lie about a woman he's never met to better himself or his name. It's offensive, demeaning, and beyond misogynistic. Now, Ric Flair, in response, then posted a picture.
Of them together in bed?
A video that he took in Atlanta, which is where he allegedly, you know, says he had sex with her in Atlanta. Over the weekend, he captioned it, "I was right on Sunday, so I think we all know that Nature Boy ain't a liar."
Ric Flair, maybe he masturbated and thought about Halle Berry. A lot of guys think they smash when they think about you.
Shut
when
up.
They're doing
or
that.
Or she's saying she never met him. Maybe she hooked up with him and didn't know who he was.
That's true, too.
So Holly's a hoe?
No, I'm not saying that. Why does that make you a hoe?
Just
make you a hoe.
Just sleep with just some random guy you don't know and
don't
remember?
Maybe she didn't know who Ric Flair was.
I personally don't think Halle
moves
like that.
You'd be more of a hoe for sleeping with somebody just because of who they are.
No, that don't sound right.
I'd rather you sleep with me for who I am than
just some random stranger. But
hey, you. Come here.
No, I'll pass. I'm married.
Maybe they met, they went to the club, had a great night, had a lot of chemistry.
That's Halle Berry, though.
Yeah, you can't be out there sleeping with random strangers. If I catch an STD, I at least want to know where it came from.
Well, anyway.
Is that what he's thinking about?
I'm saying that's the least I want to know. The least.
All I know is it is a very odd story.
How do you explain a random case of gonorrhea?
You just can't.
Who you got that from? I don't know. Some stranger in the club.
Well, how do you explain a purposeful case of gonorrhea?
At least I know who it was. I'd rather be able to say, yes, it was Ric Flair that gave me this gonorrhea.
We keeping that.
Let's leave that. All right, well, that is your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee.
Thank you, Miss Yee. When we come back,
no better guy to get gonorrhea.
Right? Lena Dunham will be joining us when we come back. She's the creator of Girls.
Creator, star.
She ever had gonorrhea.
Writer.
All that. We'll do that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was For Free. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee. Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building, and Charlamagne is the only guest that I've seen Charlamagne offer somebody tea or water.
Not the only guest I've ever offered tea or water.
I actually have never seen him do that either.
Would you like some tea? Would you like some water?
Well, that's usually because I offer liquor.
Why did you offer her
some
liquor?
I just noticed the bar. I knew about the bar, but I didn't fully know about it.
We have Lena Dunham here.
Do you want
some
cognac?
To the show.
You seem like a cognac drinker.
I've never had cognac.
Really? Do you drink?
I drink like a quarter of a glass of wine. Pass out, do things no one wants to talk about, throw up, and carry on. Like, it's like I'm the easiest drunk in the world.
Got you. So what's your advice, Lena? Because you don't seem like you have any inhibitions. Like, you get naked when you feel like it.
I do.
So that's just you?
I take a small amount of Klonopin prescribed by a doctor. You know, a little bit of Class C drugs. Never hurt anybody.
That's for OCD, right?
That's for my,
anxiety.
Yep, that's for anxiety and OCD. So if I need it, really, what are my other vices? I like to shop. I try to keep it under control.
Got you.
And I like to nap.
Great.
I think Nappers. Sleeping's good for you.
Okay. I've been thinking about getting an Adderall game. I'm not going to lie.
Why?
But yours seems so focused.
I know, but everybody around me is like, people on that Adderall? I didn't know were on it are on it. And they're like, yo, it helps my focus. And I'm like, wow.
I feel like everyone I know who's on Adderall has like a great 3 weeks and gets like pretty cracky.
I don't know if you don't need it.
Why would you take something you don't really need?
I don't want you to fall apart at the seams. You're so in it right now. Stay in it.
Okay.
That would be my advice.
Right. I don't need it.
You did homework for the show and you actually watched some interviews.
I did.
We were asking what interviews did you enjoy or what did you like?
Well, I just love watching you guys do your thing. And it's so much more about sort of like all of your connection than it is even about the guest. But two interviews I particularly enjoyed, the Post Malone interview. I don't know why. I just like... Maybe it's like the angry college girl in me just like seeing a couple of people like stick it to a long-haired white guy. Like that's just something that gives me pleasure.
Okay.
And then I watched the Brandy interview, which I've always been a massive Brandy fan since Moesha. So I was just liked how like serious it got and how deep you got in there. Although you said that it became a little tense.
She was upset after. She was upset. She cried.
Yeah, you know, she was accused of vehicular homicide at one point.
Oh, I have a list going in my head of all the celebrities.
It's homicide, not homicide. And it's vehicular.
Homicide. Yes. What'd I say?
You said vehicular homicide.
People know what I meant. But what I was saying was, like, you know.
Homicide is something different that I hope none of us have done. Yeah,
that sounds very. That sounds like a hate crime.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't want to be a part of it.
Homicide.
There you go.
Yes. But people always tease her about that on social media. You know, people cruel on social media. So they constantly remind her.
I would have no idea about that.
I've never seen anybody tease her about that.
What? They send her pictures of car wrecks and everything.
How did you even notice
that? I've never heard of that either.
There's a list on Wikipedia. I will tell you this. I do not have a driver's license. And I'm a 30-year-old woman. Never got it. I grew up like 10 blocks from here. Never got a driver's license.
Typical New Yorker.
Yeah.
Can you swim?
I can swim. Okay. My mom made sure of that.
Okay.
She made me learn to swim in a public pool that literally had like pieces of human shit at the bottom of it. But she was like, you will learn to swim.
Yeah, definitely won't drown in that.
No, but I was taking driver's ed in LA and then I made the mistake of going down the Wikipedia rabbit hole, celebrities who have killed people with their cars. And I was like,
why would you look that up? Like, what made you Google that?
I saw Rebecca Gayhart out somewhere and I was like, what is it about Rebecca Gayhart that I remember? I don't want to ever join this Wikipedia list, and I feel like I really would if I was given my license. So I'm going to continue this Uber lifestyle for as long as it'll happen.
You know what? Thank you. Because your thoughts become things. So if you're constantly thinking about, I'm going to kill somebody in this car, you might end up killing somebody in the car.
She thought she was going to kill somebody. She just said she didn't want to. That wasn't
I kind of knew I was going to kill somebody.
But there has to be times when you go somewhere and it would be so convenient for you to get a rental.
Oh my God, yeah, and there's so many times, especially before Uber, like when I would be in Los Angeles, you would have to call yellow cabs and they'd take like 45 to 80 minutes.
It's not like New York where you just go outside and hail a cab.
No, I'd be like squatting in a Chick-fil-A crying, waiting for my car. Like you need to be able to drive. It's an adult skill. And I don't want to be like a mom who can't drive my kids to the hospital, but we'll get to that.
Now let's talk about Girls.
Oh yeah,
Last season of Girls coming up.
We just wrapped 4 days ago.
I saw your very emotional letters that you were writing.
Does it feel over?
You know, we still have to edit it. We still have to promote it. But I have to say that last night, I was weeping like a mother bleeding baby. I couldn't believe it just because it's been my whole... I started writing the show when I was 23. I'm 30 now. Those are all my... That's my family. Those are my best friends. So it felt like this crazy loss. And even though we can all like go out to dinner, we've formed this incredible culture. And like, I woke up the next day and I was like, what do I even do with myself? Who am I? Like, I kind of walked out into the street like... What do I do when I'm not on this television show? I guess the answer is come to the Breakfast Club and bother you guys.
Why did you feel like it had to be the last season, though? Because I felt like it could have continued on.
It's a great question. I mean, I think it's like when people start a job so young, you have to give them room to grow. And I'm including myself, but I'm also thinking about all the actors that I work with. Like, their careers are taking off. Adam's in Star Wars. Allison's starring in this movie that's going to be amazing. Jordan Peele's movie Get Out, which is coming out in February. Mm-hmm. They all have, I mean, Jemima's a painter. She has two kids. Everyone has passions. And, like, I want to let them grow and develop. And I felt like there was a certain point. I never wanted to become that show where everyone's like, yeah, I'm just going to my day job. Like, we've had so much love for it every day that we've done it. And I wanted to go out with us all still having that connection and that passion for what we do because I think it translates onto the screen. And it feels like the moment where it's like we've kind of captured this magic energy between us. So let's finish out the way we started. And it was beautiful. Like, at the end, we all cried. We all hugged. We were all like, you're my sister. Give it 3 more years and we all would have been like,
I hate you.
Ever fucking look at me again. I can't believe you wore the same dress as me to this award show. We never got into that zone.
Well, tell us what Girls is about for somebody that doesn't know. I don't watch Girls. These guys talk about Girls.
I still have like
I've been committed since day one. You know, it's funny. People come to me and they be like, you still watch Girls? And I'm like, yo, I'm committed to these characters.
Well, you know, Sean, I mean, you tweeting about it was like a very big deal for all of us.
Really?
Yes, of course. Because, you know, like... You know,
he's not a girl. And
he's not a girl.
How many people call me gay for that? You're gay. You watch Girls. I'm like, it's a show full of women.
It's a show full of naked women. It's like the least gay thing you could ever do.
Yeah, Lisa Bonet was on last season.
How good did you?
Come on, man.
Donna Glover was on.
Well, tell us about this now. Naked women.
It's a show about four girls, now women, who kind of come to New York to like make their fortune, as
Brooklyn.
So many do. Brooklyn. And then realize like, oh, this is not the Sex and the City world. This is the world where like you can't even find an apartment that has enough room for two people and doesn't have rats.
So it's
like,
real.
So that was our goal. Like the apartments are tiny. Our actors barely wear makeup. The sex isn't sexy. It's just about what it feels like to be in your 20s and struggling and hustling and how impossible it feels and how it causes you to be not that nice to your friends and destructive in your relationships. Right. And so I would say like the most marked characteristic is that all the characters are best friends but kind of hate each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of those characters are kind of foul.
Yeah.
In particular, Jessa.
She's a...
I don't know if that could be my friend. I'm just saying.
Well, she
started sleeping with Adam.
Yeah, how'd you feel about that?
I was happy for Adam only because, you know, I'm a man. So I'm like, oh, wow, go. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
then I thought that was just
beautiful.
Foul because y'all supposed to be best friends. But y'all were broken up. Y'all were broken up, but it's still a girl code.
But they were still sneaking around, which is really, you know,
That's the thing. I was like, if they had just come to Hannah and been like, listen, we're in love and this is what we're going to do. But they snuck around and then they made her find out in this terrible way. At the end of the day, like, I believe you can't come in and wreck a perfectly happy relationship. Mm-hmm. I think, like, I feel in my relationship with my boyfriend, we're very connected. It would be very hard for, like, a woman to walk on the scene and just remove him. Maybe I'm delusional and, like, he's literally, like, having sex with three people at home right now. I don't know. But
what if Rihanna was like, I just want to have sex with him one time?
I'd be like, why don't you have sex with me one time?
Wow. Damn, Jack.
Right, Leo?
I'd be like, let's flip this situation and just...
You got to go through me to get to him.
Exactly.
First. All right. We got more with Lena Dunham when we come back. Keep it locked.
Come on, Nick.
All right.
The ham is silent.
All right. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Jay-Z, Excuse Me, Miss. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Lena Dunham's in the building. Now, Charlamagne?
It seems like you got a popping sex life because it reflects in your art.
I have to say this, which is that I do a lot of sexual stuff on television, and I had a, like, adventuresome early 20s. I'm 30 now, but...
You went through your whole phase, as we call it.
I really went through it. I posted a picture on Instagram the other day of me, and I was so tempted to be, like... I just wrote, like, what a wild time. But really, I wanted to be like, I was on OxyContin and sex with four people this week. Like, I just was like, but that's not information that anybody needs. But the fact is that I've been with the same guy for 5 years.
Yeah.
I love him. I adore him. I would never talk about our sex life publicly. I respect him deeply. And I'm actually weirdly kind of, like, prudish. Like I'll do anything on TV. But, like, if somebody says something sexual to me in real life, I, like, turn beet red. Like, I really,
really
have
So in real
to...
life, if a guy's like, you dirty little slut whore. But on TV, it's like...
On TV. And also in my early 20s, I think so much of it...
That made me hurt just now when you said that. Yeah, yeah. You dirty little slut whore. What are you talking about?
I also think, and I don't know if you connect to this, is, like, a lot of it in my early 20s was that I didn't love myself very much. So anything that anyone brought to the table, I was like... I guess, like, I know, like, Monique has this bit she does in Queens of Comedy where she talks about how, like, if you're, like, a chubby girl, you have to just be up for anything sexually. Mm-hmm. Like, she's like, there's just, you can't make any rules because that's what you
that
have
is
to
true.
Offer.
Fat girls be freaks, no, for real,
yeah,
yo.
Yeah, that's what true. Monique says. And I remember watching that when I was, like, 22 and being like, I know what you're saying. Like, I was, like, chubby, anxious, covered in pimples, and just didn't feel like I had the right to
say no
or advocate for myself. And so much of my life from 25 to 30 has just been being like, no, my worth is about more than my body, and my worth is about more than whether I look like a supermodel. And so that's really freed me up to connect to myself as like, to think like, what do I want, rather than like, oh, I'm going to, like, you know, crawl around on the floor for some guy who doesn't even
I'm going to do some things I don't enjoy just so you can feel like I'm a freak.
So was getting naked like a defense mechanism? Like, I even think back to like tiny furniture. You was in your underwear a lot in that. Like,
the fact
that
you even know about tiny furniture makes me feel so alive. Thank you so much. Yeah, I think a lot of it was like, I know that I don't have a traditional body. It's funny. My whole family, my dad, my mom, my sister, everyone is like 5'11 and like 30 pounds lighter than me. Like, mm-hmm. my boyfriend's always like, what mailman did your mom for you to come out? Like, I'm just this like, I'm like this little like duckling following around this like family of hot people. Mm-hmm. And so I think I always felt like literally like my sister's modeled. My mom is like 67. And like, we were out in the park a few weeks ago and a guy came up to me and was like, love your show. And then he came up to my mom and he was like, you're beautiful. Like start complimenting me, then hit on my mother.
Got you.
So I think I just, and I was best friends with Jemima, who's now on the show, who was like the most beautiful, still beautiful, but like literally I would be out on the street with her when she was 9 months pregnant, mm-hmm. and she'd be getting hit on and I'd be like a perfectly nubile 22-year-old who was being ignored. And so I think I had this feeling like I need to expose a body that I know so many women have. Mm-hmm. And it did make me feel strong, and it does. And I'm sort of coming out of that phase now. I don't need that in order to feel fully formed, but there was this part of me that was just like, see me, and don't just see me, see all the women who look like me and understand that like this is what a female body is. Yeah, because right. we don't see, what we see is not real, and we all know that. And we're, I think, moving in a direction of people wanting to be more open about like what the human form looks like. But especially when we started Girls 5 years ago, like people had like violent reactions to seeing me naked, like repulsed reactions. And I was like, probably half the guys who were so horrified about this, this is what your girlfriend looks like. This is what your wife
More
looks
than
like.
Half. Right.
This is what your mother looks like. Like, this is a body.
Now, even when you say traditional body, like, what is a traditional body?
Like, well, it changes based on history, but, like, right now, but there is always a body that's in vogue. So, like, mm-hmm. I don't know what you would say. You guys would know better as dudes, like, what the body that is.
Although I would say asses maybe a couple years ago was really in. I mean, it was always in the hood. But
still in. Asses have been in now.
Yeah.
Although, waist trainers usually.
Yeah, waist trainers, which I heard are not very good for your inner organs.
Not at all. Oh, they're killing. They kill so many women dying because of waist trainers.
No, I think they're dying because of butt shots.
That too.
The butt shots thing is really intense. It was actually my boyfriend who explained it to me because he's a producer, and so he will like be hanging out in the studio and hear mm-hmm. girls like having these quiet conversations. Like, oh yeah, I got these butt shots. And I was like sitting in my house. And even me, I'm like this like feminist who hasn't even had my teeth whitened. I'm like, do I need butt shots? Like, you it gets in your head.
It's illegal.
The idea of a body that's like idolized by American culture, so often it's being marketed towards women. And the fact is like, I've been 30 pounds heavier than I am. I've been 20 pounds lighter. Amy Schumer said something similar. It's never stopped me from getting laid. Like, it's just never, right. It's like, at the end of the day, I actually think that men are accepting of a much, and women sexually are accepting of a much wider spectrum of bodies. But what's being marketed to women in cosmetics ads and what's being marketed to women in fashion magazines is different and is destructive.
How did you get to doing writing? Because it seemed like you had low self-esteem at one time. It seems like you weren't proud of your body, but now it seems like you're super
writing
proud.
Probably
like, what
helps.
Turned your ass around?
Well, I'm not always proud of it. I definitely have moments where I walk into like the Golden Globes and I'm like 8 inches shorter than everybody and like wearing a giant sack and I'm like, how the f*** did I get here? And that, I think,
you care about the opinions of others too much, Lena.
Really?
Yes. Like, you're too in your head.
But don't you think as a writer, you are more emotional and a lot more maybe thinking about...
My dad always says this thing, because both of my parents are artists. My dad's like, artists have like, and I'm sure you guys feel this because you're creative people, like, it's almost like your skin is another organ. Your skin is an organ, but it's like you feel everything.
Right.
Like, you're so raw. Mm-hmm. And so I do feel, so there's a part of me that doesn't give a f***, which is why mm-hmm. I do what I do. But then there's also the part of me that just like wants people around me to be happy and accept me and connect with me. And those two things are kind of always doing battle and probably will be for a long time. I can, you know, feel people's opinions on Twitter. I can feel people's opinions on the street. But in my art, I'm like safe and I'm immune. And I'm like, it feels like almost like a superpower when you're inside your work. I don't know if you guys feel that way. You're like,
absolutely. It's all about the work for me.
Yeah.
Like, that's the most fulfilling feeling, not the money or anything. I like creating great work.
Which you do every day.
Thank you. It's interesting with you though, because you're a feminist.
I am.
So it's kind of like you're against being objectified, but it sounds like you want to be objectified just a little bit.
It's complicated, and I think a lot of women think that feminism means having a clear perspective on your own sort of like strength and power at every moment. And I have a friend called Roxane Gay who wrote an amazing book called Bad Feminist. And what's so interesting about it is it's like she's really looking at the fact that like being a feminist is full of contradictions. Mm-hmm. Just because I want to have it all, and just because I want to have equal pay, equal rights, control over my reproductive rights, and a sense that I can walk into a room and have the same kind of power and not be dismissed because of the body that I was born into. There's also part of me that will never lose the sense that I want that kind of attention that I was always told that women are supposed to have. Mm-hmm. So those two things, you can be a true blue passionate feminist and still feel the pain and challenge of and rejection of being a woman in this culture. And both of those things mm-hmm. can live together at the same time. I don't know if you ever feel that, like you're like, I'm tough, I'm strong, I'm amazing. And I also kind of like want someone to look at my butt while I'm walking down the street.
Right.
And like,
but then if I say, Lena, you got a fat ass, you'd be like, don't talk to me like that.
I probably actually wouldn't say that. Say thank you.
Thank you. I've been doing squats.
I actually am not that. It's like, it's one thing to say, like, you've got a fat ass. I'd be like, thank you. If you were like, you've got a fat ass, and if you don't let me touch it, I'm going to tell everybody that you did X, Y. I mean, like, there's shades and degrees. Like, there's sexual harassment, mm-hmm. and there's, like, making somebody feel beautiful right. woman. Mm-hmm. And those two things. And I think what's hard is, like, the line is gray and it's messy and, like, we all have to find it for ourselves. But, like, nothing makes me feel better than when I come into work and, like, one of the, you know, guys who I work with goes, like, you look really pretty today. And it's, like, Thank you. Nice because I'm, like, I already know you think I'm smart, so thanks.
I still appreciate when somebody opens the door for me. When a man opens the door, I can still say, thank you.
My boyfriend said on our first date, he said, I'm not going to open the door for you because I'm a feminist and I respect that you can open the door for yourself. And I said, I think that's lazy and you're going to start opening
Absolutely.
The door for me.
All right, we got more with Lena Dunham when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Love, Tory Lanez. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Lena Dunham's in the building.
Now, let's talk about black people.
I'm in.
Now, when girls first started, you got a lot of controversy because mm-hmm. they said you didn't have a lot of black faces on there. Do you think you...
And as they said, especially in Brooklyn, where there's such a diverse amount of different races, they were like, why is there no black...
You think you've made up for that over the seasons?
I'm not going to say that I've made up for it because I think that what I really will really be making up for it is if we can support female voices of color the way that our voices have been supported. Mm-hmm. Because I think everyone's criticism about girls was totally valid. But at the end of the day, there need to be female creators. Like, that's why I'm so excited about Insecure mm-hmm. and Issa Rae, is because it's like, that voice needs to be on television. It doesn't need to be my voice telling the story of a black woman's mm-hmm. New York experience. It needs to be Issa getting to go deep and go personal about what it feels like for her to be a black woman, a young black woman dating in Los Angeles right now. And, you know, when I started the show, I was 23, and I'm half Jewish and half Christian. I wrote, like, two Jews and two Christians. Like, it was so close to home for me. And I was writing these characters who were all in some way extensions of myself. Looking back, yes, but looking back, like, I never want to see another poster that's for white girls. I don't think we need to live in a world where we have a poster that's for white girls. Right. That being said, the fact is like the experience of being a young black woman mm-hmm. in Brooklyn is different than the experience of being a young white woman mm-hmm. in Brooklyn. And I wanted to write from a place of accuracy and passion and understanding. And so in the future, I would love to collaborate with and support women who want to tell their stories, rather than attempt to sort of co-opt their stories so that I have the cast that looks great on a poster.
I'm glad you said that, because a lot of women of color feel like you ignore them when it comes to, like, feminism. I see articles where they say you focus on feminism, but you mean equality for white women and not black women of color.
That's definitely a criticism that I've gotten, and it's one of the main reasons, again, that Jenny Connor and I started Lenny Letters, just to have a diversity of voices and to say, like, I've been given this incredible gift. She's been given this incredible gift to share what we have to say. So how can we spread that? And I have to say, like, over the 6 years of doing Girls, I've learned so much about intersectional feminism. I mean, it's like, even though white women can sometimes feel like a repressed minority, there's an entire subsection of issues that we can't even relate to, like the sense that you have to be scared when your child leaves the house, mm-hmm. like the sense that you don't know if they're going to be able to come home, like the fact that people are assuming that you're not capable of doing a specific kind of job. Like, and so every
single... Oh, you've been having some conversations with some black women, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I have some really... I mean, I'm not trying to brag about it. I'm not... But I have some amazing, amazing friends who are enlightened, complex, beautiful, mm-hmm. multifaceted black women who... It shouldn't be their job to educate me, because mm-hmm. it shouldn't be anyone's job to educate mm-hmm. anyone, but they've been there for me to have that dialogue, and I'm really blessed by that, because I can't grow as a feminist and I can't grow in my perspective if I'm not hearing all of that feedback. And, like, I feel like just our whole job in life is to, like, evolve.
That's dope, because I'd be watching your social media, and when they get on you, they get on you.
Ooh,
and I'd be like,
they?
How is she ignoring all these black women's tweets?
Well, part of it is that I don't run my own Twitter. You don't? No, I send my tweets to someone because it just got too violent. So it's like, So I say to her, I'm like, if there's a thoughtful tweet, please send it to me and I would love to respond. But I can't go on there and comb through all that because maybe there's going to be five brilliant, interesting questions from black women that I'd love to answer, but it's mixed with like, hey, you piece of hoe, you should be stoned in the street. I'm going to your dad. Like, I can't look through all that stuff. It's too much. So, like, I'm saying right here, like, those are the dialogues that I want to have. And especially as I've been out campaigning for Hillary Clinton, I've realized how important it is. Like, I don't want to be, I'm going to Florida at the end of the month and North Carolina, and I'm bringing an amazing and diverse group of women with me, because I was like, it's not enough and it's not cool to be out there as just like a solo white woman being like, don't take away my reproductive rights, because that's not actually the biggest issue at stake in the election.
Well, Lena has to go, so we gotta wrap up.
Already?
Okay. Yes. I have to go? What?
We don't want you to. I have show questions galore, but I'll ask this one. There's some pictures of you filming the last season.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks like there might be an addition or... Is that a spoiler for everybody?
Well, let's just say, I'm just going with the line, the pictures where people thought I looked pregnant. Let's just say I ate a huge hamburger and then find out
that next. Not a hamburger.
Let's just find out next season. I mean, I think if you look at the pictures, it's pretty obvious what's going on. The good thing is that, like, Girls isn't necessarily a show that's all about the spoilers. Like, we're not Game of Thrones. So it's about the connections between the people. So that's why, at first, when I saw the paparazzi, I was like, oh. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to stand here proudly because...
Proudly pregnant.
What else can we do?
Gotcha.
I had the best line. A guy said to me, I was standing there in the costume, shall we say, and he looked at me and went, are you really pregnant? And I said, no. And he said, so what are you doing later? And I was like, bold, sir. And I was like, what if I'd said yes? Would you also have asked me what I was doing later? I liked it, though.
This is my show question. Why'd you turn your father gay on girls? Personal experience or just...
My real dad is straight as hell. He actually did say to me, he was like, "You know, do you know how many people have asked your mom if I'm gay?" And he's like, and he's like, do you know how many people have been like, was your 40-year marriage a sham? We always felt like there was something there, like a complexity and a wrinkle as to why Hannah was who she was. And it just started, it made sense fourth season for that to come out. And the actor who did it, Peter Sklar, did it so beautifully and so sensitively. Mm-hmm. And I loved playing that because it's like, she has to be an adult. Like, she can't be a child about it. She has to go, like, you know what? I have to be there for my dad. He's going through this transition. I'm an adult woman, and I can't make this all about me. So that was a really fun storyline to play.
And I also thought it was dope that you owned up to the Odell thing, too.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Yeah,
what happened with Odell?
Oh, I'm...
She was in her head. Her own insecurity.
I was in my own head. I was in my own head. It was a great lesson to me in how your humor can be misconstrued. Because to me, so many of my jokes are about, like, being insecure in my body, projecting onto other people, but in the written word, it did not
translate.
And
he
so
tried
people,
to holler at you?
No, he did not try to holler at me. Yeah. He did the opposite of try to holler at me, and I was at the Met Ball and feeling super self-conscious. You know when, like, Beyonce and Solange and five Victoria's Secret models and the Hadid sisters, everyone's at your table, and you're sitting there, and I just had this whole projected thought process of, like, Odell doesn't want to be sitting next to me. He doesn't want to be talking to me. He thinks I'm garbage. He thinks I look like a boy. And so I thought all of that was coming across, and it seemed like I was actually accusing him of some kind of misogyny. And the other thing that I was really grateful that women especially educated me about on Twitter was, like, I was unintentionally perpetuating, like, the stereotype of, like, a black man as someone who will holler at anything that's near him. Mm-hmm. And that, especially at this moment in history, we have to be hyper vigilant about the way that we depict each other because of how much darkness and tension exists in this, like, Trumpified world that we're in. So I apologized immediately. I apologized to him privately. I think he's the coolest. I think he's an amazing dancer. I respect his career. As little as I know about sports, I respect his career. And I just will be much more careful in the future about making sure that, like, my humor translates and that it doesn't have in any way, like, it's not creating destructive images for young black men.
Gotcha. So you think a lot of times when you have this self, this is my last question, I promise. A lot of times when you have this self-victimization, it's really just humor. It's not you playing the victim. It's you just trying to be funny.
I thought it was the funniest idea in the world at the time. I was like, it's so funny. I was dressed like a tiny boy and sitting next to Odell. Of course, if there were, if I was a beautiful professional athlete surrounded by singers and models, that was who I would talk to, not a tiny little man woman in a tuxedo. But when
that.
I explained it,
Stop saying that.
It didn't sound like that. And that's the fact is, like, you can't sit there complaining my joke didn't translate. if your joke didn't translate, it means your joke wasn't funny and your joke didn't work. And as a comedian and as a writer, you have to own up to that. And the other thing is, like, I think his response was, I don't want to have problems with anybody. I'm like, I really don't want to have problems with anybody.
He said, I don't know enough about the situation, the comment. Right. He said something like that.
Which is totally great. Like, that's good. He's living his life.
Right.
He's doing his thing. He shouldn't be focusing on some dumb shit that I said.
All right, well, part two coming soon. We look forward to having you back.
Yes, we got to have Lena back.
Million more things. When the new season of Girls starts, you got to come. The last.
Yeah.
You love yourself, right?
Yeah, I love myself. I take so many nude mirror selfies.
There you go.
I love you.
I love myself. I love my bat. I especially love my boobs. But I also have a complicated relationship to all of it because life is not one dimensional.
All you got to do is whisper to Jack, say, is my p***y fire? If he says yes, you good.
Do you know what he would do if I said, is my p***y fire? He'd be like, is your pussy on fire? He would have no idea what I was talking about.
Do we need to get some water?
Are you in danger?
Goodness gracious. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Lena Dunham.
Thank you.
The Breakfast Club.
What an honor. Living the dream.
The Breakfast Club.
It's about time.
I like this intro now.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Rumor report.
This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
So last night at the BET Hip Hop Awards, Snoop Dogg got the I Am Hip Hop Award, and guess who presented that to him? That would be Kendrick Lamar. Check it out.
He was the one who mastered the game through tests and challenges and earned him the respect of a college professor, except his degree came from the streets. The lesson of his impact was so, so heavy, he was able to put the young ones on game to help them avoid the same pitfalls. Through his examples, we discovered our own transformative abilities to make a mark on our art. This revolutionary is none other than Big Snoop Dogg. His emergence in the game was authentic, blessed with an undeniable masterful flow and a unique style that forever shifted the perception of West Coast music.
Yes, and I don't know if you guys saw, but Dr. Dre also performed.
Dr. Dre performed.
I didn't see that.
I didn't see that part. What part did you see with Dr. Dre performed?
No, he was on the screen. They did like a little video screen.
Oh, no. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't actually see it because I was hosting.
Who told you that?
But I saw it online. They said Dr. Dre performed.
No, somebody lied to you. They had like a video of Dre. He was in the studio talking about Snoop.
I got hype. I was like, I got to go look this up.
Nobody performed for Snoop. Snoop, they did a montage to him where they was talking about him and he came up and accepted his award.
Well, I got to stop reading what people are saying online.
Yes, you do.
I thought I missed him.
Salute to everybody that wakes up and let social media dictate how they think for the day.
No, I didn't see it on social media. I actually saw it in an article.
I don't know what website. Please stop following that whack ass.
I'm looking
website.
At it right now.
What website that was? That
hold line.
That's blatantly lying.
You sure it wasn't with Drake when Drake brought him out the other night?
I'm looking. Hold on. Let me find it. I'll find it, but I'll tell y'all. I'm just telling you.
Well, I'm telling you that didn't happen.
I thought it.
Definitely didn't happen.
I told you guys I didn't see the Hip Hop Awards though last night because I wasn't home, so I got to catch up on everything.
My bad. I watched. Kendrick won Lyricist of the Year, too. I thought Chance the Rapper should have got it this year, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, now let's talk about Kim Kardashian. I'll give you an update on this. The concierge is the person now that they are saying is the critical witness. Yeah, of course. Now, that is because that concierge was handcuffed and he opened the door to her apartment. Mm-hmm. She said that he was extremely calm throughout the whole situation. She actually engaged him in conversation, asking him, are we going to die? And he calmly responded, I don't know. So she made a really big point to point out to the cops that he was so calm, even though he was handcuffed and held at gunpoint. And remember, they said after the robbers left the apartment, they took him back downstairs and left him in the lobby, still handcuffed. Now, Karl Lagerfeld, who is the creative director of Chanel, actually talked to reporters about what happened with Kim Kardashian. He said, I don't understand why she was in a hotel with no security and think like this. If you are that famous and you put all your jewelry on the net, you go to hotels where nobody can come near to the room. You cannot display your wealth and then be surprised that some people want to share it with you. So he said, image-wise, it's very bad for Paris. He said, we make all the efforts to make Paris appealing. But he also posted a picture. Dearest Kim, we are all with you. Love, Carl.
A lot of victim blaming in that.
Sounds like it, right?
In them comments. I mean, you know, I do say you entice the wolves, but that doesn't give somebody the right to violate you just because you post your possessions on social media.
That you work hard for, absolutely.
But you do got to protect, be able to protect what you can, what you post, though.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, I would not want to be tied up and held at gunpoint with him.
Well, Kim Kardashian feels like she's going to get her ring back because it's very rare. Now, I didn't know all this, but if anybody tries to sell that ring, there's going to be some red flags because the diamond has an inscription number on it and other markers on it. So if anybody tries to sell it, there'll be some red flags. They said even if the inscription is scratched off, you can also identify her ring by special internal characteristics of the diamond. It's not foolproof, though, because if they actually crush the big diamond into several pieces, it'll make it less traceable. And they would have to try to sell it to somebody that would have no problem with buying something.
Oh, there's a black market for that. They'll get that off. They ain't gonna get 4.5 million for it, but there's a black market. They'll get some money off of it.
They're gonna get a little something. There's also no surveillance footage. They've been trying to find surveillance footage.
That's crazy.
Why are you staying somewhere where there ain't no cameras?
And there's nothing. They said there was only a camera that's in front of the building, and the robbers actually knew where that camera was, so they managed to avoid.
Oh, she definitely got lined up.
Being caught on camera.
She definitely got lined up. His camera's there, but there's no camera footage. She got lined up.
Now I'll tell you who else is doing something illegal. Chrissy Teigen. She actually lives in Rihanna's old residence in Los Angeles. And here's what she had to say when she was on Ellen.
And you moved into a new house?
We do, yes. It actually used to be Rihanna's house.
Did she leave anything behind?
I get a bill of hers. Rihanna, you owe $18 to Bugatti.
You're opening her mail?
Yeah, maybe. Okay, she gets a lot of fan mail.
You open so the fan mail?
I don't get it to the house. I don't get my own to the house.
So. You know that's illegal, right?
Is it?
You can't open people's mail.
Really? But it's my house now.
No, it's...
You definitely can't.
I've never done that, but I've never moved in behind a really famous celebrity either. I think it's a big difference in getting mail from John Doe and getting mail from Robin Rihanna Fenty. You might open that up.
You don't get old mail from whoever used to live at your address ever?
Yeah, but they're not a celebrity, so I don't care.
So you don't open it?
No, I don't even. It's like whatever. Like, I'm not even intrigued to do that. But I can see how if it was a celebrity on the front of the envelope, you might be intrigued to open this up.
I get all kinds of mail at my house because apparently before I bought my house, there was a bunch of people squatting there. So there's a whole lot of different mail that comes to my house all the time. And is it illegal to throw it away?
Yeah, you can throw it away, but you just can't open it.
Well, then who would know if you opened it or not?
True.
There's a check right now sitting in my house that's for someone else.
How much?
It's like $500-something.
And you ain't going to send that mail that back, E?
I don't know what the person address. Is.
There's no return address on that?
No, it just came in.
You put it back in the post box, and you say, this ain't my mail. I forget how you do it. You put it back, and they send it back. Return to sender.
I don't know. Anybody out here? Never mind.
Imagine getting somebody's doctor results.
No, that's crazy.
And that is your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee.
All right, thank you,
Miss Yee. Is it really a crime to open someone's
mail? It is,
email?
Absolutely.
Even if it comes to your address?
Yes, it is. Charlamagne!
What?
Who are you giving that donkey to?
Aqib Talib, cornerback of the Denver Broncos. He needs to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with him.
Okay, yes. We'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey.
That's pretty funny.
Charlamagne the devil?
The Breakfast Club.
Yes. Donkey of the Day for Wednesday, October 5th goes to a man who many feel I share a face with. Aqib Talib. How come every time I hear his name, I want to say Talib Kweli?
Sounds very similar.
I don't know, because you're very familiar with him.
Aqib Talib, cornerback of the Denver Broncos. Now, back in June, Aqib was involved in a shooting at a Dallas strip club. Aqib received stitches in his lower right leg. Get the hell out of here, Taylor, with your phone.
Oh, my goodness.
Jesus Christ. Come on. Sorry, listeners. Sitting here acting like she's never heard this part of the show before. Now, Aqib was involved in a shooting at a Dallas strip club. Aqib received stitches in his lower right leg. Luckily for him, the bullet missed any bones, arteries, or ligaments, and the shooting has remained a bit of a mystery since June because Aqib reportedly told police that he did not remember how the shooting occurred because he was wasted. Round of applause to Aqib for that excuse. When all else fails, blame it on the liquor. Okay, Aqib said, and I quote, "Everything was a blur, and I was too intoxicated to remember what happened." Great answer. I don't know nothing is always a great answer, okay? But Aqib claims to not remember, but he probably wants to forget after police cracked the case. See, getting shot is a terrible thing. Right, nobody wants that. And we live in this world, especially as a black man, where we have to worry about getting shot by goons, the police, the Dylan Roos of the world. There's so many ways to get shot in America that the last person you expect to get shot by is yourself. Well, Aqib Talib did just that.
Oh, boy.
Because the Dallas Police Department has determined the Broncos cornerback shot himself in the leg. Even though Aqib Talib was too intoxicated to remember what happened, he had been telling close friends that he accidentally shot himself. Yes, I know this story sounds familiar because the same thing happened to Plaxico Burress. Salute to Plaxico Burress. He shot himself walking into a club and served 20 months in prison after being indicted for criminal possession of a weapon and reckless endangerment. It's unclear if Aqib will face any criminal charges, but he could still face discipline from the NFL under the personal conduct policy. I don't have anything else to say. Aqib Talib shot himself in the leg, and he needs to be grateful that God was covering him the way he covers wide receivers, because this injury could have been much worse. He could have had his career derailed, all because he's carrying a gun, when the reality is he's rich enough to hire armed security. Why? Some donkey today's just sell themselves. Give Aqib Talib the biggest hee-haw, please. We may share the same face, but we don't share the same level of thinking, okay?
You and him share the same face now?
That's what people say. Every time he comes on TV, I get tweets. I'm like, I didn't know you play for the Broncos.
You know, you say that a lot. You say you look like
everybody.
Him. You say you look like Morris Chestnut. You say you look like
Joe. I'm telling you what people say. They ain't never said Joe. Ain't nobody ever said Joe. I'm going to tell you the people that I always get mistaken
for. Okay, let's hear
it. Lafayette from True Blood.
Never.
Yes, you are.
I don't claim that one. That is true, but I don't claim that one. I don't claim that one.
R&B singer Joe.
No, ain't no goddamn Joe. Why you keep saying Joe?
You say, you look like Joe.
Morris Chestnut.
Nobody says that.
Mike Coulter.
Nobody says that.
Marcus Ware.
Nobody says
that. Aqib Talib. Tyrese.
Nobody says none of those.
Drop one of Clues bombs for me. I'm just five different versions of a handsome name.
I heard DMX before.
You heard the True Blood guy.
You never heard none of these.
The True Blood guy.
Mm-hmm. You never heard Joe. Okay. Hey, let me live my lie, all right?
All right.
Hey, everybody else can be delusional. I can't be delusional. Let me be delusional, okay?
Shrek.
I'm just telling you what the streets say.
Shrek.
Ain't nobody ever said no damn Shrek, okay?
All right.
Steve, you shut up, okay, Steve? I don't want to hear nothing from you, all right? Your white privilege has been showing all week. You keep your mouth closed over there and you hold that camera.
So all black right? people look like it.
Why do you ask you for your little commentary on the side?
All right.
All black
like
people
Lamar
look alike.
Lamar Burton.
All right.
Lamar Burton.
Lamar.
From Reading Rainbow.
He said his name was Lamar Burton.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today, Joe. When we come back, ask me. I mean, Charlamagne.
Who the hell is Joe?
800-585-1051. If you have a question for Yee, call her right now. She'll put you live on the air and help you with your problems. Again, 800-585-1051. Call Yee right now. She'll help you with your problems. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Here's Drake. It's Riri. It's Too Good. That was Mo Money, Mo Problems. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Time for Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. You got a question for Yee, you can call her right now. Yee, what line are we going to?
Let's just do caller number 4.
Okay. Hello, who's this?
Hey, how you doing? It's Shane.
What's your question for Yee? Where you calling from?
I'm calling from Orlando. I just moved here from Baltimore.
Okay. What's your question, bro?
So, lately, man, my girlfriend's been having some problems.
Okay.
She thinks I'm cheating on her, and I'm just busy working. Like, she got mad last night because she sent some porn on my phone. Like, who doesn't watch porn?
It wasn't personal porn sent to you from a person, right? You were just on a web.
No, it wasn't. But she said a link popped up to some Dropbox picture, and she saw some girl. Like, I don't know what she's talking about.
Are you sure you don't have a Dropbox of girls' pictures on your phone?
Man, I'm positive. She goes through my phone. I let her go through my call logs, my text message logs. I don't even have social media.
She lives with you in Orlando.
Yes.
Okay. So you said you work all the time. So does that mean that there's times that you're not accounted for where she's trying to reach you and she can't?
No, the thing is our schedules is off. Like, I work in the morning. By the time I get home, she's already gone off to work. So I just be home bored, just me and my dog. Like, I don't know a soul here in Orlando, so I just really be bored. She thinks I'm out trying to look for this, look for that. Like, no, I want to spend the rest of my life with my girl. I know I'm sad. I know I'm young, but I know what I want in life.
Right. Well, I don't understand what she has to be so insecure about. Do you guys have a past history of things happening?
No, not really. Back in Baltimore, I had a lot of female friends. Like, really just called you first that she didn't like that.
Okay. You never cheated, never got caught cheating or nothing?
I never cheated on her. I cheated in past relationships, but I never cheated on her.
Okay. All right. Well, it seems like she has some insecurities. You know, maybe she feels a little... You guys moved together? Like, you both lived in Baltimore and moved to Orlando?
Yes.
All right. So perhaps it's a little bit of a bad aftertaste from what went down, but she can't hold you accountable for things that you have never done. She's going to ruin their relationship that way. One other thing is, do you ever think she cheated on you?
No. I mean, I think she was probably a little promiscuous before I met her, but that's before me, so I don't pay it on mind. Okay. But I don't think she's cheating. I honestly don't think she's cheating on me.
Because I don't understand what she would have to be so insecure about. So what you need to do is sit her down and be like, listen, what have I ever done to you for you to act this way? Because this is making our relationship very stressful. Like, and you need to tell her, you're starting to make me think that you're cheating on me. Because usually people don't trust you. That means they can't be trusted.
It's not even that. Like, back in Baltimore, I used to be a very social person. Down here, I feel like my social life is just draining away. So I do have, I did meet a homeboy off the job. I go out with him. Like, I do hang out with him. She thinks we going out, we trying to see a bunch of girls, this, that, and the third.
Right.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's a bad situation if somebody can't even let you have male friends or go anywhere and not do...
Yeah, like, she don't understand. Sometimes a man, like, needs his own time. Like, needs some man time.
All right. So tell her this. Just say, hey, listen, I've never done anything for you to make you feel this way. I don't know what this is all about. Tell me what it is that you need for me to do for you to feel more secure. I'll do those things. If you still can't get over it, then I don't know where this is going to go because I'm doing my best. If that means that she needs you to just every now and then text her, check in on her, send little cute messages to make her feel more secure, you know, let her know where you're at, whatever. If you're always reachable, then it shouldn't be an issue. Then the issue is with her.
All right.
Good luck, bro.
Thanks, man. I listen to y'all every day, too, man.
Appreciate it, too,
and
man.
And sometimes people say that will drive you to cheating when somebody keeps accusing you of something. The first thing a guy will say is, I might as well cheat you. Keep on saying I am anyway.
That's real, though.
800-585-1051. You got a question for Yee? Call her right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Bryson Tiller with Exchange. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's go to the phone lines. It's Ask Yee time. Hello, who's this?
Lindsay.
Hey, Lindsay. What's your question for Yee?
My question is, my boyfriend and I have been together for 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's lived with me for about 2 of those years. I also have 3 kids. Okay. But he has not paid anything.
What? So he's living off of you?
Yeah. I pay over $2,000 a month for my bills where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And he feels that since it's not his house, his name's not on it, he can't keep it, he's not going to pay for any of it.
Nothing at all?
Well, then he should go get his own place.
He doesn't pay for groceries either, and he's a grown man.
Girl, is he using you?
Does he eat the booty like groceries, though?
No.
Because this sounds like a crazy situation. He has a job, right?
Oh, he has a job. That's the thing. He makes 3 times as much as me.
Oh, damn.
I've got $5 in my bank account. He's sitting on $7,000.
How are you letting him get away with this?
I don't know.
This sounds crazy.
I know the answer. I just keep thinking it's going to change. Like, okay, he's going to realize today that I have no money and I'm struggling. Nope. Ever happened.
Mm-mm. What you need to do is he should be paying half the bills. Now, I don't even
feel...
Yeah, he should at least pay half.
She got 3 kids.
Okay, but he lives in her house and hasn't paid for anything.
Half of all the bills, ye?
Is it a mortgage or a rent you pay?
Mortgage.
He should pay half the mortgage. He's living there, right?
Yep.
I'm down with splitting the bills. He knew what he was getting himself into. He didn't have to put no down payment for nothing. He's living there. He's been living there for how long without paying anything?
2 years.
She's getting child support, too.
Come on. That's the money for the kids. That's not
for
him.
I don't get child support.
But even if she did, that's not for him.
Well, that's for half the...
Well, she needs to get child support for him because that's another kid you have living
with
you.
You want in on that $7,000?
Girl, you need to tell him he needs to move out. If he wants to date you, fine. But you can't be supporting him. You have 3 kids to support, not 4, right?
Right. Exactly.
Don't let him take advantage of you. And you know what? I would say the same thing if you were a woman living with him and he was paying all the bills. You got to contribute something. He don't pay for no groceries. He eats the groceries, right?
Nope. Yep, he definitely eats the groceries.
Maybe he's doing stuff around the house.
He eats your groceries and the groceries.
Yes. Nothing around the house.
Maybe does
why do you have him there? I don't understand.
Cut the grass.
Why are you okay with this for 2 years?
He doesn't cut the grass. I pay lawn care. My car went down to where I couldn't get back and forth to work. He couldn't even be bothered to get out of bed to take me to work. I had to call an Uber and pay $200 a week.
I don't understand you. I'm so confused.
Maybe he's raising the kids. Then.
But don't,
he might raise the kids.
Right? I'm being stupid, right?
But don't you care about the fact that you need to support your children first and foremost? You're spending all your money supporting a grown man.
Right.
And I would assume him being with you means him being with everything that comes with you. And that means him being with you and your three children, right?
Yeah.
He might be raising the kids and helping the kids, though.
Okay. Well, that's his woman. He knew she had three kids when he moved in, right?
Oh, yes, he
did. If you date somebody with kids and you live with them, you should be treating those kids like they're your kids, too.
Hell no. Right.
Yes, you should.
It's roommates.
They're not even roommates. He don't even pay his part. But anyway, you need to put your family first and your needs first. There's no reason with three kids you should have $5 in the bank.
That's okay. I was just confirming I wasn't being, I was being stupid, but that's the right decision.
Oh,
Thank you.
Need to be concerned about that. You got to stand up for yourself. You know what? It's not that important to have a man that you got to support him and take care of him. You need to find the right man.
Maybe he's saving for a ring or something.
By spending all her money and not his own?
He got to buy a ring.
Hell,
he might be saving for
I don't see the point of having $5 in the bank.
I'd
rather have an overdraft of $200. I'd rather be in the hole $200 than just have $5 sitting there chilling.
All right.
Good luck, Mama.
Thank you.
All right. But imagine
don't call me next week and say he's still there either and you ain't even talked to him about nothing.
But imagine if he's saving the money to buy a ring. Is it okay then?
No, it's not okay.
Why does she have $5 in the bank? How do you even get to that number? If you have a negative $200 in the bank, then that means that you're at least trying. Okay.
What? Nah,
she got $5.
She paid her bills.
But she has three kids. What if there's an emergency? Now I don't have no money because I'm spending my money taking care of this grown-ass man.
You're right. You're absolutely right. We got rumors on the way.
Yes, let's talk about a new couple that's getting married. We'll tell you about the Orange is the New Black.
Okay, we'll get into that next.
Oh, we'll talk about Orange is the New Black and what that has to do with it.
Okay, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report. With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Kid Cudi has checked into rehab, and that is for depression and suicidal urges. He actually posted on his Facebook page. He said, "It's been difficult for me to find the words to what I'm about to share with you because I feel ashamed. Ashamed to be a leader and hero to so many while admitting I've been living a lie. It took me a while to get to this place of commitment, but it's something I have to do for myself, my family, my best friend, daughter, and all of you, my fans." So that's when he revealed that he did check himself into rehab. He said his anxiety and depression has ruled his life for as long as he can remember, and I never leave the house because of it. I can't make new friends because of it. I don't trust anyone because of it, and I'm tired of being held back in my life. I deserve to have peace. I deserve to be happy and smiling.
Remember that little rant Cudi went on a couple weeks ago, and he was coming at Drake and Kanye? That had nothing to do with Drake and Kanye and everything to do with Kid Cudi.
I remember he got help, though.
He had said that he treated his depression with drugs.
Right, he had a drug issue also. Yeah, I'm glad he got help. He needed it.
When people come at you, that's why you can't really take it personal because oftentimes it's not you, it's them. And Cudi was just lashing out because he was going through it. That's all.
And, you know, we always talk about this, but there are a lot of people who do suffer from depression. So that is why it is important for us to recognize some of those signs and take it seriously when you see somebody's been in a funk.
I'm not going to lie, though. A lot of people do be taking advantage of that depression card sometimes, though. A lot of people are claiming depression now and a lot of people just jerks.
Sometimes nobody wants to feel that way,
but you just don't know what's going on
Absolutely.
In people's lives. That's why sometimes you have to have a little compassion for people. All right, Orange is the New Black. You know our girl Puse on the show? Samira Wiley is her name in real life. I know.
Don't remind me of that.
If you didn't see the last season. No,
don't remind me. That was hard.
What happened to her?
She had a pretty big role, and it was a crazy final episode.
If you saw last season of Orange is the New Black, you know what we're talking about.
Don't tell me yet.
Well, good news for her in real life. She's actually getting married. Who is she getting married to? Well, she's getting married to a writer-producer from Orange is the New Black, Lauren Morelli. Now, Lauren actually was married when she started writing on the show, and she...
Married to a man.
Mm-hmm. She came out as gay. And she actually talked about how she realized she was gay in fall of 2012. She said it was one of her first days on the Orange is the New Black set. It wasn't so much one thing, but the sum of many small details, how uncomfortable I felt around a group of lesbians, how I considered myself a not very sexual person. She said, when considered alone, these seem like little quirks that made me, wanting to read a book instead of have sex is a perfectly reasonable preference to have. But on set, these small moments came into sharp relief, and I found myself answering to an endless stream of cast members who peppered me with questions about, are you dating anyone? You're married to a man, but you used to kiss girls. Do you miss it? I was finally forced to consider a question that had never, ever occurred to me before.
Damn.
Holy ish, am I gay? So now she is engaged.
She used to love men. Now she loves Pussy.
Yeah. She's marrying him.
Watch it.
Watch.
What you mean? Her name's Pusey.
Okay.
Yeah, that's her name on the show.
That's her name on the show.
Yeah. All right, Soulja Boy has gone to social media, and he is leaving Love & Hip Hop. He tweeted out, "I've decided to quit Love & Hip Hop. I feel my brand is too big for the show now.
Oh, my God.
It's too ratchet. I have my own new TV show coming soon."
Okay. All right.
What?
Okay.
So congratulations to Soulja Boy. Can't wait to see what he has.
All right. Okay. God bless the brother.
Coming. And Chris Brown posted a cute picture of himself with his daughter, Royalty. He said, "I'm so happy that I took responsibility to be a father, and this little lady has given me strength, unconditional love, and most of all, purpose." If you have Revolt TV, you can see the cute picture that he posted.
Yeah, ignorant that's what people, a daughter do to you.
"Ignorant people would label me homophobic, woman beater, troublemaker. I've been through hell and back to jail and back. I refuse to crumble. I stand. Love you, Ro-Ro." Okay, that's royalty.
Yeah, I mean, as the father of two daughters, the craziest thing, enjoy them now. And the reason I say enjoy them now, because everybody keeps reminding me that they do indeed get older.
They do.
And they do get breasts.
Yes.
And they will get periods.
Yep. Have boyfriends and leave you to yourself.
And that's great.
Yes. You'll get
that's
old.
What you
and they
want
will
in
have
life.
Sex one day.
I don't want to hear that now.
I mean, you don't want to hear that, but then you think about it.
You want your daughter to have a great sex life with nice men with big penises.
Your wife is somebody's daughter.
You're right.
So whatever you've done to that person's daughter, somebody will eventually do to yours.
Don't say mine. Say your wife is somebody's daughter, whatever you do to
oh,
her.
Oh, your wife's not somebody's daughter?
She is, but
who
I don't
bought
don't,
your
don't,
wife to
don't
stalk
say
nigga?
Me. I don't want
to
hear me. Say you. Go put in your own position.
Same
own
difference. I'm just saying this is something that us men have to acknowledge and we have to embrace. So it's just like enjoy them while they're young, put the right things in their head, and hopefully they grow up to suck the right.
Stop it. Okay. All right.
Yes. I mean, that's just what it's about.
I don't want to hear that.
All right. I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
Thank you, Miss Yee. Shout out to our family at Revolt. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Everybody else, the People's Choice Mix is up next. You want to hear something? 800-585-1051 at DJ Envy. Hit me up. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram. Get your request, and I got you. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.